Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen, amen. You know what, today I just want to share something God put in my heart as we go through the season of Easter and different things. Sorry, let me open my notes here. You know, we just started looking at these things around the what happened with Jesus. And so I want to go back to that a little bit. But just to give you a title today, Say It Out Loud. Say It Out Loud. And it's so interesting because saying things out loud has to do a lot with personality. I don't think personality is outside of it. You know, culturally, I'm from a country called Dominican Republic. We make baseball players left and right. And so that's what we do. And so other than the U.S., I think is the second nation with most baseball players, and then Cuba. And so that's where I come from. And so Dominicans are very loud, everything they do. But my personality is not typically loud. I'm just the weird in my family. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't say certain things out loud. And I want to walk you through this because Pastor Joseph just talked about, Pastor Jessica, Pastor Nan tells us all the time, hey, we're not a quiet church. There's something that happens. As I was asking the Lord, how do we connect with this phenomenon? Because let me tell you something. The issue is not about saying things loud. We are actually in a culture where people are becoming even more bold to say things and put things with social media and being expressive about the things you like. As a matter of fact, this weekend is a perfect example of being expressive with the things you like. The movie Avenger has absolutely flipped the country upside down, made like $1 billion over 4 days. And so I'm hoping somebody drops a tithe from that, but we won't go there. No, I'm just kidding. And so $1 billion over 4 or 5 days is something crazy what it's done. So what it showed me is that people don't have a problem being passionate about something and being expressive. People have a passion connecting that expression to their love for Christ and to their expression in Christ. And it's so important that we as Christians understand that both of those things are connected. Maybe you grew up in a church where reverence meant, and it is being quiet and humble and a certain demeanor. But when we look at the Word of God today, we see a God that is a little bit different. That's a little bit different. A God who's expressive, a God who likes that connection, a God who says, hey, if you like something, if you feel happy about something, you should say it out loud. You should let people know what's going on. Imagine if you were married and you decide to love your wife in a reverent way, meaning you never tell her anything, but you sort of hang around the house and quiet and you just, you know, thank you. And you nod from time to time in joy. And it's not going to go very far, my friend. She wants to hear, hey, do you love me? Hey, you want to go out? Some words got to be exchanged. Some expression has to be connected. And it's so important for us to do this in order to express it in that way. And the issue is never the expression. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, men in church, they don't express it. But the issue is not expression. Who are the most passionate people sometimes on the football field, on the soccer field, on basketball? I mean, these guys paint their faces. These guys take their shirts off. Do not do that. At church, keep your shirt on, but they are being expressive as much as they can. They're letting their voice heard about their passion. And I was wondering, Lord, how can we connect this back to you? Because praise is an interaction or conversation with God in a matter of expression. And when we talk about praise in church, when we talk about, hey, we're saying it out loud, we're declaring it, there's something happening in the realm that's important. And this is why I know a lot of people, I mean, I've heard this expression even in our Spanish service sometimes, where people are like, oh yeah, we're going to wait, we show up after the singing because we want to hear the message. And I'm glad people want to hear the message. But let me tell you, corporate singing is beautiful. There's something that God is doing and building as we come together and express and worship together and praise Him and we say it out loud. Something is happening in the atmosphere that transforms people's hearts and minds. And it's absolutely powerful for us to understand. Look, let me just mention a few here. Psalms 9:11 says the following. It says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. So it's saying, sing to Him and say the things that He's been doing. Psalm 33:2-3 says this, praise the Lord with melodies and the lyre, which is an instrument. Make music for Him on the 10-string harp. Verse 3, sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with what? With joy. So he's saying something has to happen when you love God. Something in you says, man, I gotta let it out and I have to say it in a certain way. And this is so powerful for us to understand, because I think what happens is we think that, oh man, why are these people hyping it up and why they're saying these things? I want to break down a little bit, just a little bit, of what the Word of God says, why is important when we come together to actually open your mouth and say something to God. Are you with me? And actually express yourself, and actually from time to time break the mold and, you know, raise a hand right here if you need to as you, you know, move up those stairs, right? But there's something that happens because it's biblical. It's all written in the Word of God. We're not making this up. We're not trying to force people to do some weird expression and look all weird. No, no. Something in the Word of God is saying, if you do these things, it is saying something to Him. It is saying something to Him. And that's powerful. Psalms 149:1. Look at this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Or the word hallelujah in some other translations. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. And His praises in the assembly of the what? Of the saints. So the Bible's saying, David is saying, listen, when people come together and sing praises, something happens. Something powerful happens. And let me tell you, I love personal worship. I don't do it often, but sometimes do it in my car, in my house, in my office. I always try to have some music playing, but something happens when I come here. When I'm here Sunday mornings, I was telling Pastor, I was like, yeah, I love when I come to first service, I'm worshiping, God is working on my life before I even minister. Something is happening in the atmosphere, and that's from all of us coming together. I've heard of people being healed while they're praising. Nobody touched them, nobody prayed for them. They were just there kind of sacrificing, giving them to the Lord, and God said, you know what? I see your heart. We're doing something today. Something happens in people. There's people who get ideas during worship because they're saying that they're expressing. They're not holding back that which God is doing. And so I want us to look at the importance of actually saying something to the Lord out loud. Are you with me tonight? So in Luke 19, if you go there, and we'll be there most of the night, actually, right? And Psalms will jump back and forth, but this is a famous story. You guys know the story and what happened. And basically, Jesus is entering Jerusalem. Jesus is coming towards the end. This is His last week prior to crucifixion. So Jesus coming back to Jerusalem, the Bible says, I believe in the book of John, I remember, that He set His face like a flint, meaning He was heading there. He was going to go there. He was set. He was going to do this because God is asking Him to do. He knew He was going to die. So Jesus is heading there and sends the disciple on a mission. Say, listen, I want you to go and prepare a place where we're going to partake communion together before my end. He doesn't tell him it's the end, but He said, we're going to partake communion. When you go, go to this house. In that house, there'll be a donkey. That donkey, you're going to grab that donkey. And when they ask you, why are you taking that donkey? You tell them, the Lord needs it. Just that portion of the story is insane. Insane. Let's put it in a modern version. Jesus says, listen, I want you to go to this neighborhood, 9th Street in San Bernardino, and there's going to be a Honda Civic outside. You're going to go ahead and grab it. And if somebody asks you, just say the Lord needs it. Is that right? Clack, clack. No, I'm just kidding. It's like crazy story, right? Right? So He says, hey, go get the donkey because this guy, he's not going to stop you because something's already worked. It's amazing. If God can purposely design that, because in the book of Malachi, I believe, or one of the books in the Old Testament has a prophecy about that donkey. I taught a little bit of this in our Spanish service. If God can prophesy about a donkey, what can He do with your life? What can He do with your life? And this is why our expressions are so important, because we're letting God, you have a plan for my life. You designed my life with purpose. There's something you've lined up for me. So they go get the donkey, bring it to Jesus, and we know the rest of the story. Jesus sits on a donkey, and they're going down the street. And that's where we pick up the story. Look what happens. Look what happens. Then, verse 37. Then, as He was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, so disciples, people who follow Jesus, began to rejoice and praise God with a humble, quiet, very professional voice. With a what? With a loud voice, with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. My goodness. We're going to break this down in a minute, but they were just going crazy, just seeing Jesus coming on a donkey. Verse 38 saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39, And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. The only people sour with your praise are people that don't know your testimony." And the disciples, when it's not about them, they don't want to, the religious people, they want it to be about them. And it was about Jesus. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. And so, verse 40. "And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I would have liked to see that. That would have sealed the deal for the Pharisees. But something happened in this few verses that teaches something how we respond to the presence of God. And I just want to mention three quick things today. I mean, I can give you a bunch. We can talk about praise forever, but that's not what we're about. One of the things we do in our church, Pastor Jim has always taught us, is that we do things in order. We believe that you should exalt God and we should do it with fervor, but not necessarily because we're attracting attention to ourselves. Are you with me? And this is so important that we, when we focus on the Lord, we can do it. We can cry. We can do that because people are in the same atmosphere. When we go out of that, then we make, just like the Pharisees, we make it about ourselves. We make it about ourselves. And so I want to show you three things that are so important when we focusing on. Number one is this, is praise. Praise, it's saying what he has already done. Praise is saying what he has already done. And we sang about that. It is not hype. It is not hype. And let me tell you, hype is a modern expression that we see today. Oh, this is hype, or they're hyping this. As a matter of fact, I was laughing. One of my kids, I got three children. One of them, when we went to see the movie, finally we got to see the movie. It was so crazy over the weekend. I was like, nah, we're busy at church. I'm not going to go crazy. So we finally went and see them to see the movie. And I think they've hyped it up so much that at the end of the movie, one of my sons was like, "That wasn't that big of a deal." I was like, and so I get it. I said, yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. I said, it was interesting. But that's what happens with hype. Hype. Let me give you a definition. Hype has to do with proclaiming something that doesn't have its true value. So you have to bring it up because in reality, it's not worth that much. And we know that. I'm not insulting salespeople, but sometimes when a product is good, you see a salesperson not be that pushy. I don't know why. When I bought a good product, they're like, "This is what a product does. This is great. I recommend this." And you think about it. When a product is kind of iffy, the person goes crazy over it. And then it's not. You're like, okay, I get it, man. Let me look around and come back to you, you know? My mother was in sales, so I understand the idea. I'm not criticizing anybody in sales. I'm just saying something happened in our culture about hype. Hype is when we go out of our way to create this large thing that it may not be there. But God doesn't need hype. God already is. He's already greater and bigger than we can ever think or imagine. He's already done some crazy, amazing things that go beyond. So he does not need our hype. He does not need our hype. So don't get things mixed. Don't get praise mixed with hype. And that's what a lot of people tend to kind of categorize as. Look what it says here. This is so amazing. It says this, "Then he was now drawing when he was going in." Look at this. Luke 19:37. "They praise God," say their disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for what? For what? All the mighty works they had seen. Can we say that phrase together? Can we say the praise God from that point? 1, 2, 3. "And praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." So they've seen something in their life and they're saying, God has done something, so I'm gonna proclaim him, I'm gonna say it, I'm gonna praise it, I'm gonna let my voice be heard in one way or another. Are you with me tonight? And again, I'm not talking about being, you know, shouting craziness. I'm talking about that from time to time. I want to encourage you, if you've never done this church, if you come and you're one of the quiet worshipers, I want to encourage you, next time you come, say something. Just say something. You just go out of your comfort. If you want to look around first, you're welcome to do that. Go, all right. Thank you, Jesus. You've done something good for me. And you have no idea what can happen. Something is going to happen because it said that they did that because they saw God. Let me walk you through a few things. I read this testimony and so impacted me. You see a picture of this person. Testimony online. I read a person named Ace Burleson. Listen to this. When Ace Burleson encounters, so what he does is he carries a cross. He believed God asked him when he came to Christ. He took the verse literally to carry your cross daily. That's not for everybody, but he took it because a lady prayed for him in his church, and he believed that was for him, and he took it as his mission. He's not asking anyone else to do it, for him. So he's walking, I don't know from what state, all the way to, from North Carolina all the way to Colorado, some crazy distance he's walking, something like that. So here's his sharing. He said, I encountered Jesus Christ as a savior, and he learned about biblical command to deny yourself and take up your cross. So he took that literally. So he's trying to walk all the way to the Grand Canyon. So here's what happened. The moment I gave my life to God, this is him speaking, my life was radically changed. And that's what makes this walk kind of easy, because it's for Jesus. Wow. There was a woman, he said, there was a woman driving one day as she was looking at me. So I waved at her as I'm walking with my cross. I waved at her, and she then turned around, caught me off, and started almost falling out of her window, crying and weeping. And I was like, this, he says, I was just like, wow, what's going on? Let me ask, oh my gosh, what's wrong? What happened? Are you okay? And she said, I was on my way to kill myself, and you stopped me. And you stopped me. He's glad he obeyed God because he almost didn't carry his cross that day. But thanks to his wife and kids supporting me, he decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and walk a little today. And that was the day he had the encounter with that lady. That was the day. Sometimes in the day and age we live out, we're going to have to live our Christianity a little louder than we used to. We're going to have to let people know, this is what I'm about. This is what Christ is about. This is what's happening in my life. And you know what? I'm so grateful that some sports people are taking that on, because we've seen it the other way. We've seen how the church is getting beat up in every way. When the Bible says, proclaim it. Don't shy away. Don't shy away. You don't have to shout anybody down, but man, you have to let people know. I find myself in the grocery store telling people, God bless you. I find myself in the store paying for something always so much, and I would say, oh, praise God. And I find myself doing stuff that I have never done before. And the reason is because unless I verbalize what God has done, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. And see, there's a famous phrase that St. Francis of Assisi quoted, and a lot of people use it, says, preach the gospel, and if needed, use words. That's wonderful. I know what St. Francis was trying to say, that we have to live our life as an example of the gospel. But you know what? The gospel has to be preached with words also. God has to be praised with our mouth also. Things have to be said in a way that people know God is doing something in my life. Here's David. Psalm 41 and 3. Here's David. I waited patiently for the Lord, says David, and he inclined to me. David is going through a tough time. And he heard my cry. I don't know about you, but maybe you came to church and you were waiting on God, and God heard your pain. Look at this. And he also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. David is saying, God put me out of a mess and he put me in the right place. Verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and I will trust in the Lord. Here's David saying, God did something for me. I want people to know. I don't know who's received something from God, but if you have, would you give him a praise tonight? Has God done something in your life? Has God done something in your life? And if he has, let him know. And if he has, let him know. This is so important. Praise, it's about saying it out loud. You have to say it out loud. Something transformation happens when we vocalize the things that are happening in our life. Let me tell you, when David defeated Goliath, it was nothing he did, but it was something he said. It was nothing he did, but it was something he said. He defeated Goliath before he even threw the rock. He said, who do you think you are? He spoke to his issue. He praised the Lord. He said, you're coming against the Lord's army. You're nobody. You're nobody. You're coming against the Lord's army. He magnified God above his issue. He said it out loud. But if David would have gone, you know, we have a good God. Praise. The dude would have been like, what is going on with this guy? He's talking to himself. This guy's crazy. And slice him in half, right? That's not what happened. David was like, yeah, he was small in stature. He was younger, but he proclaimed the grace of God because God has done some things. He said, man, when I'm with a bear, he gives me strength. I beat up the lion. I'm going to eat you alive today. He said it out loud. He spoke to the situation. Number two, you have to say it because God has done great things. Number two, praise is sacrifice. Praise is sacrifice. Let me tell you something. The people that were praising Jesus when he was coming into Jerusalem, they took a risk. Here's the risk they took, that the Roman Empire could have interpreted that as a rebellion against their government. Because they were saying, remember the accusation? He considers himself the king of the Jews. That was what they were bringing up, the Pharisees. That's what they were doing. He's saying, this guy's bringing up a rebellion. This guy's bringing people up. He's stirring the people. God was just doing something marvelous. So they took a risk. So praise is sacrifice. And you know what? When we come in here, we're going to have to go beyond our feelings. Let me tell you something, my friends. I can speak for every pastor here on staff because they're humans just like me. There are services we don't feel like praising. And you can ask that to the worship team also. Because we have issues. We argue with our wife. Our children don't behave. Whatever it may be. But you know what we do? We praise him because the way we do it sacrificially brings such a blessing into our life. We go beyond what we feel. We say, God, you're worthy. You're good. We're here today. We're going to say it out loud. We go beyond our feelings. Beyond our feelings. And so this is so powerful. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not as athletic as Pastor Joseph. I can't jump, 7 feet high during a praise song. Glory to God. Well, neither can I. So I do the little bob, I'm like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Do what you can, But praise God for it. I had a conversation with a man, and it reminded me of this verse. Look at this. Hebrews 13:15 says this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So this is to God. This is not to the person next to you or to the church. This is to God. They sacrifice. What a description. The sacrifice of praise. That is, then he explains it. So the writer not only tells you to do something, says it's a sacrifice. He explains this. Look what a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Oh, you mean I have to actually vocalize what I feel? Yes. It is sacrificial. It is powerful. So I had this conversation, especially with this older gentleman, probably in his 70s. He could be just such a beautiful person, so humble. He came down after a service and he said, Pastor, with tears in his eyes. When an older person cries, that's like, can I cry with you, man? Don't do that in front of me. I was so moved that he was moved. He said, Pastor, sometimes I just don't feel it. I didn't grow up. I wasn't raised loving God this way. Sometimes I don't feel like raising my hand. That just feels weird. And I just told him, I said, you know what? It's okay. I don't want you to walk away from God because he felt so condemned that other people raising their hands and he felt like not doing that. I said, sometimes I get mad. Why are they making me do it? I said, nobody's making you do anything. Nobody's making you. But I said, if you try it, and if you start praising the Lord outside of your comfort zone, something amazing will happen. The following Sunday, he comes down the aisle at the altar call, gives his heart to the Lord. And I've seen him every Sunday since that conversation in the same chair in service every Sunday. Something happened in him because he came with an honesty of the heart. It was a sacrifice for him to do this. He didn't understand. You might be in that same boat where you're like, man, I didn't grow up doing this. This thing feels weird. But you know what's funny? We've all raised our hand at something. We've all done it at some point in our lives. Whether it was with a game, hey, we wanted to be picked. So if you wanted to be picked, you needed to raise your hand. Say, hey, pick me, right? We've done at some point, a lot of people say, raising your hand is the international symbol of surrender. So when we're before God, we're saying, God, I'm giving myself as a sacrifice. I'm just putting myself out there and I'm saying, I surrender. I give everything to you. Those are the symbolisms that this is happening, that God is doing something. Other people say it's like a small child coming to their father. They raise their hand to be picked up because they're smaller than their mom and dad, so they want to be picked up. So when we do this, we're saying, God, we are committed to you in every way possible this moment. And this is what's powerful when we sacrifice our praise in that matter, because sacrifice is the death of something to bring glory to God. Sacrifice is the death of something to bring glory to God. What if when you praise, your depression dies? What if when you praise, your selfishness dies? What if when you praise, your sadness goes away? What if when you praise, a loved one in your life gains victory over something you've been praying for? What if? What if that happens when you make a sacrifice of praise? You don't know. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is a biblical key. This is something I do. If it gets heavy or difficult, in my car, I'm putting praise and worship. If Because in my office, we're having praise and worship. Because the Bible says that if I do that, the heaviness will be lifted from my life. And it happens every time. Every time I get, you know what, Lord? I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to get my mind off of this thing. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to make you the one and only. You're amazing. Thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, the heaviness that was upon me takes off and it's lifted from my life. This is so amazing, guys. And this is why we have to say it out loud. We have to let God know because it's going to transform my life. Let me tell you, God doesn't need to be hyped. God doesn't need us to tell him anything. But because we tell him something and we express it, something happens in us. It is transforming us in an amazing way. So you have to say it out loud in your life. Number three, and last one for tonight. Number three, let me remind you, why it's important to say it out loud. Number one, because when you praise him, you're saying something that he's already done. You're focusing on that. When you praise him, it's going to be sacrificial. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. You're not going to want it, but you have to do it. You have to just let it out, and something incredible happens, because when you do that, you're going to gain a benefit. Let me tell you something. Again, I'm really quiet, and I, you know, in some ways I love fun, but with my friends, you know, I can be loud and everything, but this is not typical. It's outside of my personality trait, you know, but I do it anyways. But it's so important to say things. Let me tell you, this is a funny story, but it's so important why you say it. I'm saying that you're doing this with God, but it's so important to express it, because you can't get anything unless you say something, unless you express it in a way. And when I was trying to who's my wife today, Tracy, and I remember I went and I said, hey, would you meet me at this particular place? Actually, she was already there. I called, I need to talk to you. So she's at a Starbucks there. We lived in Las Vegas in that time, and so I know where she's at. I get out of the gym, jump in my car, and head where she's at. And so when I get there, I'm really nervous, you know. We're only friends. And so I go to her, and I just, man, at that moment, I froze. I was like, I gotta get out of here. I was like, this is a big mistake. It's going to be a big letdown. And you know what? In worship, a lot of people feel that way. If I go all out, then what if I don't feel something? It doesn't matter. There's something God is doing and creating in the atmosphere because of the conversation. Listen to this. So I go, I have my script down. Now, she told me years later or months later that she had her own script. She already smelled kind of what was coming. Like I was going to ask, hey, would you, start going out with me? So she had her script to tell me no. Well, I didn't know that at the time, right? Everybody's like, oh, yeah. But I was bold. I sacrificed. I'm kidding. I was bold. I went. So I said, listen, I think I'm interested in you. I think you're amazing. I just, just told her all the things I thought about her. But before she even said something, I saw one of her friends. And I said, oh, look, so-and-so is there. Hi. And I took off. I was like, I'm out of here, because I kind of smelled it, right? I was like, she didn't react well, so I'm out of here. So listen to this. This is why important you vocalize it, even with Jesus. She talked to me and said, hey, can I talk to you a few days later? She said, I've thought about it, what you said, and I'm actually interested also. And I was like, oh, great, that's awesome. I didn't have a plan B, I'll go from there. But 3 kids later, things are working out, I guess, right? We're going on almost 18 years. Why am I saying this related to Christ? Because I think, and I've done this in the past, I think if God already knows how I feel, why do I have to tell him? Why do I have to tell him? Because something happens when I say it, he hears it, the devil hears it, the spirit hears it, it's created in my words. The Bible says, what I confess creates something. Something happens in the spiritual atmosphere when we say things out loud and we will let people know God is doing something in my life. And here's point number three and last one for tonight, because saying it out loud, praise is part of our mission as Christians. Praise is part of our mission as Christians. And this is so important, because people may focus just in preaching the word. You have to do that. That's what Jesus said. He said also to baptize them. He said to disciple them. But when I read the word of God, exalting Jesus and publicly proclaiming him was part of the mission. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament is loaded loaded with this instance where God insisted in the praise being the center, the temple where he met. That's how they won their wars. This is how they did this. There was something about praise that broke the spiritual atmosphere and did something amazing. One of the prophets, I don't remember which, Elisha, he said, oh, can you prophesy over this person? He said, the Bible says that he brought a worshiper, or one of the Levites, and he started playing, and the presence of God came, and he was able to prophesy. Something powerful happens in the presence of God through praise. Are you with me tonight? I'm going to end with this. Luke chapter 18, 40 says this. Look at this. But he answered and said to them, this is Jesus, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Somebody's going to say something. And this is so interesting. My pastor in Dominican Republic, Pastor raised me before I moved to the States. We had, just like here at church, a bus ministry, but we're a small church. So it was, you know, the brothers, actually the pastor at the time was driving the van himself to pick up people. I was one of those because my mother was a widow. We didn't own a car, so we get picked up. One day, the van breaks down, has an issue. We have to call a mechanic. The mechanic is there, spends a couple hours working on the van. So we're trying to figure things out. The mechanic finally asks, hey, what do you guys do? You know, he's working on the van. And the guy said, well, we're a pastor. And he says, man, I've been here 2 hours and you're going to let me go to hell? What is wrong with you? You got to be preaching to me. Can you imagine? this guy, why am I spinning all over? Can you imagine? This guy's saying, hey, you got to be doing this. This is so amazing. Because when we say it, something happens. That's incredible. He realized, hey, you're supposed to be doing something. Guess what? Praising God is part of our mission. Praising God is part of our mission. And it's so crucial, so amazing what happens. When we were just recently in the Dominican Republic visiting my mother, my wife and I, we took our kids to spend some days in this hotel, and this lady was so joyful. My wife said, hey, can we give a tip to this lady? She's the bathroom attendant. I was like, yeah, do what you want to do. And when we came by, my wife was like, she was so joyful, so hopeful. So when we come by, this lady has a, because there was nobody at the bathroom at the time. She has the radio with Christian music. She has her Bible open. She was having a service by herself. And she was like praising God with some Dominican merengue going on, praising Jesus. I mean, she was on it. And we were like, oh, you're a sister. We pray. We were so excited. We gave her more money. I mean, you're part of us. Here you go. Pa. So we were so excited because she saw it as part of her mission. This is my job. I am a bathroom attender, but this is not who I am. I am a daughter of the King. And she impacted us in an amazing way. She impacted our lives in a great way. And David brings the Ark of the Covenant. And when David brings the Ark of the Covenant, he does something amazing. Here's what happens. The Ark of the Covenant got stuck on the Philippines territory. David wins. He becomes the king and says, hey, we got to bring the presence of God back. So he makes a mission, makes a plan, goes and grabs it. And underway, David decided to carry the Ark of the Covenant on a carriage, right? Horse-drawn carriage. And so he's on it. And so the Levites are coming. And so they're praising God. And this is happening. And all of a sudden, it says that, I don't know, maybe the wheel got loose. The Ark of the Covenant started sliding off of the cart. And one of the guys that was coming decided to grab it so it doesn't fall, and God strikes him dead. And the Bible says that David actually, in Chronicles says, and both in Samuel also says, that David got almost angry with God, like indignant, like, God, why would you, what is wrong? Like, this young boy did nothing. He was trying to help the Ark of the Covenant, and God didn't reply. And David left it at the house of a guy named Obed-Edom. And the Bible says that God blessed that guy amazingly. Can you imagine they rolled the Ark of the Covenant to your living room and then things start happening? This guy became a bazillionaire, right? The presence of God is amazing. The Bible says God just started blessing this guy. He just had the presence. So if you want to bless him, put the presence of God in your house, man. Just do that and it's going to be amazing, right? So somebody tells David, said, David, man, you would not believe what happened, King. We left the Ark of the Covenant at this guy, and God is blessing. David said, then we got to go get that thing back because it belongs here. But and Samuel doesn't say this. In Chronicles says that then David went and studied and asked the Levites, how are we supposed to do this? Here's what the Levite says. According to the law of Moses, it was supposed to be carried by the Levites on their shoulders. And they brought it in. And David, every six steps, says the word of God, he would make a sacrifice. They would praise God. And they walked the entire distance this way. Let me tell you something. The presence of God is supposed to be carried on the shoulders of its people. The presence of God is supposed to be carried on the shoulders of its people. It is on you and it is on me. It is not just in the praise team or on the CD that you play. It has to be on you and me. We're the ones saying, thank you, Jesus. We're the one, thank you, Father. I pray, I'm so grateful. You're so great. You're so big. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for my children, Lord. I'm so great. Thank you, Father. When we do that, something transformation happens because it cannot be carried by anyone else but you. You are the carrier of that. When David fixed that issue, it says that the presence of God came with him and people honor him because of what he did. No longer a little card. It has to be on people. We are the carriers of the presence of God wherever we go. And it's the reason why we have to say it out loud. It's the reason why it needs to be proclaimed. And there's an entire psalm about this. An entire psalm that declares the greatness of God. And this psalm is so powerful because what it does is it was written, David wrote it, so we can understand how powerful this is. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with a sound of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tremble and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbal. Praise him with resounding cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. An entire psalm saying there is nothing outside of the realm of praising God. You can think of anything, but you have to say it out loud. So next time we're together, next time you're in church, next time you're in the presence of brothers and sisters, make sure you say, God, today I'm going to open my mouth and say something about you. Today I'm going to say it out loud. I won't hide it anymore. If I'm excited about my basketball team, I'll be even more excited about you. If I'm excited, and I love sport, and I get excited, but the sports can never outdo that which I do for my Jesus. It can't. So God is not saying, don't enjoy that. God is saying, don't let it govern you above what I say. So if you can talk about your friends who's going to be in the free agency of the Lakers, man, nobody talks about that. I'm just kidding. If you're gonna talk about anything else, you have to just, when you come to church, you praise God. Because remember, this is so important. We say it because he's done some great things. We say it out of sacrifice, and we say it because it's a mission that he's deposited in us. If God has done something for you, would you praise him tonight? Would you let him know? Thank you, Father. We're grateful for you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.